Commitment to excellence is doing whatever it takes to be the best. And what we're here for tonight is to honor a guy that really exemplifies that. John, congratulations, man. It's a well-deserved award.
It's a complete honor, and took me by surprise hearing Coach Allen announce my name as the winner. It's a humbling experience just to be named with some former recipients of this award, as Jim Otto, you know, Willie Brown, Fred Biletnikoff. The list goes on and on.
Well, he's been to the Pro Bowl twice, but that was quite an honor last March for Raider long snapper John Condor to get the annual Commitment to Excellence Award, an award that is actually chosen by his teammates. So John drops by on the Silver and Black Show. That had to be a special honor for you to get that back in March, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable to be selected by my teammates. It was kind of by surprise, but, you know, it was a great honor, a great event, you know, raise some money for a charity and such. But just to be selected by your teammates, that's probably the you know, outside from winning the Super Bowl and stuff like that, but just having the respect of your teammates, there's no better feeling, you know.
Yeah, Raiders have been doing this now 11th annual. You look at the names of the guys that have won the award in years past: Marcus Allen, Tim Brown, Freddie Biletnikoff, Mr. Raider, the indestructible Jim Otto. That's quite a list there.
Jim was there, and it's such an honor, and it's something that, you know, I have the award at home right now on my mantle, and it's something that I'll always cherish, and, you know, I always have.
And hopefully you'll win a couple more because you signed a new deal. Tell me about your thought process when Reggie McKenzie and Mark Davis came to you and offered you a 3-year contract extension early in training camp.
I mean, they came early, and, you know, I love being a Raider. I want to be out here. Best fan base in the NFL. And they came to me, and I thought it was a no-brainer.
I want to ask you about the difference in the different style of long snapping. I think fans just think, you know, you get between your legs and you snap the ball back. But there's a real science to what you do. And because, first of all, you have two different snaps. Mm-hmm. If you're snapping to the punter, it's 15 yards at depth. If you're snapping to a holder, it's at 8 yards at depth. So how do you change the way you snap for a placement versus a punt?
I know for a punt, you want to get a little more power and velocity into the snap just to get it back there as quick as possible, you know, to avoid the punt or the blocks and stuff like that. So I can't really talk about my mechanics because I just, no one ever taught me how to do it, and it's just basically I go by how comfortable it feels and stuff. But I try to zip back there as fast as I can, and then with the short snaps, you know, it's more about placement, you know, and getting the ball, you know, right there with the laces and a great spot for the holder to catch the ball.
And your holder this year obviously has changed. You're going from Shane Lechler, who was CBS's holder his whole career, to Marquette King, and a lot's been made of the holds. From what I understand, Seabass wants the ball, obviously laces out, but he wants the ball pretty much straight up and down and just a little bit back tilt. Is that the way he likes it?
Seabass is Seabass. He wants the ball straight up, you know. Straight up straight, you know, and if there's doesn't want no lean at all, I'd say definitely towards him, you know, or towards the holder. That could cause the ball to go left or right. It's just a work in progress, you know. We're still building chemistry. Got to keep working together and build that trust.
Yeah, the key obviously is to have the laces out for Marquette. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, you are so adept at your craft that if you're exactly at 8 yards, you can spin the ball back to Marquette where he catches it and the laces are already out?
Yeah. You got to know, you know, I try to snap the ball the same velocity every time, but some holders catch the ball out, you know, a little out, you know, in front of them. Some catch it back. Sometimes I'll try to sneak the ball up. You know, I'll get up in my stance and push the ball forward, you know, and the referees don't really see that and they don't really say anything about it. And then sometimes I'll have to move the ball back, like with Chris Cluey in the preseason. Yeah. He caught it, I think, a little forward, so he's catching it sooner. So I had to push the ball a little further up, you know, so he'd get the laces every time. Now with Marquette, it's exactly at eight yards.
You're obviously listening to you talk about your craft. You're brilliant as far as the snapping, but that's just one part of your job. And I love the way you run down and cover punts. I mean, Marquette gets the ball up so high. You got Tywan Jones on one side, Chimdi Chekwa at the other, and you're coming down the middle. And that's something you take it a great deal of pride in.
Tremendous amount of pride. I'm a defensive-minded guy. I want to be down. I want to put hits on the ball carrier. You know, try to get it out. Do whatever I can. And I try to have fun doing it. I'm a big believer in enthusiasm, you know, and having fun, yelling and screaming, because that stuff rubs off on other people. And if more people can be having fun out there, you know, the more likely you are to succeed.
So. You're a football player all the way around.
Yeah.
So growing up, I know you grew up near Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Are you a big Steeler fan? You're playing the Steelers, I'd say.
Yeah, it's definitely, I grew up a Steeler fan. You know, all them guys back in the early 90s, you know, the Greg Lloyds, you know, the Kevin Greens, you know, in the past couple of years, you know, we came back to beat them, you know, at Heinz Field with Bruce Gradkowski coming in at quarterback for us, and we came back to beat them. And then last year, Kingdom, you know, with me being out there on the field for the game-winning field goal against them, that's one of the best parts of being, for me, being out on the field for the last play of the game and clinching the game for the victory.
It was Dennis Allen's first win as a head coach in the NFL. Yeah. How good is this Pittsburgh team? They were 0-4 to start, but they're playing better, good on defense. Yeah. They've won two in a row now. How good are they?
Well, I mean, they've won two in a row, and, I mean, they've got back to the running game. They've run the ball a lot more. Defensively, I mean, Dick LeBeau, you know, one of the greatest defensive-minded coaches to ever, you know, coach the game. I mean, you know what their defense is going to bring. In special teams, it's, you know, they have a bunch of defensive guys on their teams. So they're a good football team. And we know with their coach, they start to peak. You know, they've been starting out slow in September. They start to peak in October. Coach Allen showed us a stat, you know, in October, they have one of the best records, you know, in the month of October in the past couple of years. So we know that they're going to come ready to play, and we have to be up for that challenge.
You'll enjoy it, my friend.
Raiders and
the Steelers on Sunday. He's going to be amped up as always.
Can't
John Condo, our guest, when we come back on the Silver and Black Show, we'll be rejoined by Jim Plunkett, and we'll break it down in more detail. 2-4 Raiders up against the 2-4 Steelers next on the Silver and Black Show.
Started before I got here, certainly, and I was happy to be a part of it when I got here in 1980, playing the Steelers Monday night, setting a record for the most points scored on a Monday night game. It's been very, very contentious, and, you know, and the Raiders have the edge right now.